someone was advising me that I could get sued because I'm telling you how to cheat your customer. I've actually been involved in some of these things. I've been hired as an expert to work for a client who was being eaten alive by alligator spray. The broker might have discretion over his client's assets. He could trade options without informing his client, and then he would put on short-term spreads. He'd buy one option, sell another one, they'd mature in less than a month, and as soon as they matured, he'd have to put on another spread, etc. And every time he was generating two commissions for himself, and pretty soon, after 2 or 3 years, there was almost nothing left on the account because it had all been sucked out by commissions. I gave the example in the text of Hillary Clinton, whose broker was accused of cherry-picking. The broker made a number of trades in the same future, the same day for different clients, but was accused, I don't want to say this actually happened, was accused of allocating the favorable trades, the futures that were purchased at the most favorable prices to Hillary Clinton, and the unfavorable trades to the rest of his clients. Certainly wasn't clear that Hillary Clinton herself knew it was happening, although she's a smart lady. Somehow I think she knows a lot about things that are happening, but anyway. Chumming. Here's your problem. You're a market maker. You're trading options on some small company, and you stand there all day and no orders come in. The only way you're going to make money, of course, is if the public comes to you and you trade against the public and you maybe make the bid-ask spread, but say nothing's happening. And maybe nothing's happening because the public thinks there's no liquidity here. They're going to have to pay too big a bid-ask spread, or there's not a lot going on. And so what you do is you start trading back and forth with other market makers. Well, I'll sell you some, you buy some from me, etc., and we're all going to break even here. We're just paying each other. What difference does it make? And then the volume goes way up, and the people think, oh, there's a lot of liquidity there, and then suddenly the public orders come in. Well, that's illegal. I ran into a situation myself of a Ponzi scheme. My father called me up one day, and he said, this friend of mine has been investing in this fund, and they've just showed remarkable returns every year. I wonder what you think of it. The fund managed to have a return of about 20% per year, every year. There was almost no deviation. I thought, this is really pretty good. It's not very easy to do, even in the options market, because it was a sign of almost no risk and a much higher return than the interest rate. My father had a friend who had actually invested in this and then taken his profits out. But the question remained, was this a Ponzi scheme? Perhaps when my father's friend took his money out, really he was being paid not because there was profits being generated in this fund, but because people had contributed money to the fund and the fellow just took their money and paid it out to whomever wanted to take his money out. And in the meantime, might have been taking some money out himself and putting it in his pocket. So I called up the fund and I said, we're real interested in this, but we're worried it's a Ponzi scheme. I mean, I just laid it on the line. Do you have any audited accounting statements? No, not yet. But we're going to get them. Don't worry about it. I said, well, when you get them, please send it to us. We're quite interested. Well, they never came. In fact, 3 months later, the fellow that was running the fund's picture was on the front page of Barron's because he had lost all the money in the fund. They were not a profitable fund. So I didn't really have to investigate that fund any further.